means you have to look at it.
I'll look at it. You do remember when the Eskimo came into this country in big numbers and stayed here from Alaska?
Well, it's only about...
You can remember?
It's only about 12 years back. But I remember one of them. Mostly happened to these two. They were like Charlie Gordon and Raleigh Gordon. And mostly all that tribe that used to live in Barter Island. That came. And you get like Charlie Smith. He's, I don't know what part of Alaska he goes to. But he came in many years ago. Well, he was pretty very, very young. And there was the odd guy, you know, like Charlie Smith, that came in along in Monday, say about 4 years back. That's only about 10, 12 years ago, I seen this year a bunch that came from Barter Island. I would say about 9 or 10 families.
Did they come in a bunch?
Well, no, they don't. Well, two families come together, and sometimes there's one alone, you know, but they eventually end up on this side.
And what did you people think when they came in? What did the natives think when they came in?
Well, them days, you know, we Indians, most of us, lived above a climate like that was the Eskimo area, like, you know, and we never did mix up with them.
I see.
Until this year, fur price went up, and they got to know about trapping and, you know, that. And, well, then they keep coming down, and then the Eskimos, they all moved down too, like, and most of them are below Klavik now. And there's Indians right up to Klavik and a little below Klavik, but not very many below Klavik.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in my town there was an Eskimo living halfway from Klavik to Fort McChrystal. And then there's the odd Eskimo here and there. Like, you take across this big lake now, there's houses, you know, since them days, well, they're all Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad, he used to come through this river and go to camp, you know, buy fur from them people.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, that part of the world, you know, used to be Eskimo area. The Indians never did come down and mix up with them. They used to go to the ships, you know, in the after a breakup. And you see the Indians, but they come right from McPherson. They arrive in the Clag and then go to Shima Point and Russia Island, you know.
The Indians?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not all of them.
Not all of them, just some working. Just,
yeah.
Working.
Yes, yeah, they'll be the working men. I remember the way it started was the Mounties used to go there, you know. They see the Mounties, and they used to hire a couple of guys. And sometimes the bay, they hire some men, and they used to go and get groceries, you know, going with the boats. And they used weather boats in those days. But now, well, the Indians are all the way down to Clive, all the way, you know, say, to Inuvik, and they're all mixed in with the Eskimos. Some of them are married to Indian women. So.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Indian married to an Eskimo girl, you know. I don't think there's any.
There's no Indian married to an Eskimo girl?
No.
Just the other way.
Well, you take, like, Edward Lemmy, he's in Inuvik now, he's working for the Navy, he's half Indian. But his dad is an Eskimo, see? He was married to an Indian woman from a prison. That makes him half Indian, see?
Yes.
But he was raised amongst the Eskimos.
Yes.
He can't talk Lushan at all, he talks on Eskimo and white.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I don't know of any. Well, there was one guy too from Kittigabchuk, you know, that was married to an Indian woman in Fort McPherson. But that's all when I was a kid.
You mean,
that guy's dead now.
You mean that the Indians didn't give their daughters to the Eskimo to marry?
Well, no, they never did mix up anyway, you know, in them days.
That's recent then?
That was the reason, you know. They never did mix up. But in them days, they'd go to Fort McPherson, say, like, for the big play, you know. Fort McPherson was a kind of a gathering place at that time. There'd be people coming from Old Crow and Yukon and Red River, and the Eskimos used to come up. And you can be the McPherson Indian in any way, any kind of sport. They always beat them. They never did get licked in anything. And they'd always come up, you know, and put up a big sport there, you know, big sport day. And most times it happened in July. And they claimed they'd never been beat, McPherson Indians. They always win somehow. They're always the top, like, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they claim the Eskimo is very, very smart. The first Indians, they say that. Very, very smart. But they say the only thing that hold an Eskimo back is their shoes. This year, seal, you know, too slippery.
Uh-huh.
They claim that's the only thing that hold them back. For power, you know, like for the strongest people,
yes.
You might say. But
yes.
Like for sports and that, you know, they claim their shoes is what hold them back. Otherwise, they'd get licked. That's the way they tell stories about them. And there was one guy there, they claim he goes as fast as the ball can roll, you know. And that guy, if he wants to go through that goal on the other side, it don't matter how many guys is in front of him, he'll make that goal without stopping. He'll go clean through everybody. My uncle said he heard about this man, you know. And them guys, they're very, very smart, you know, on their legs, you know, on their feet. He said, I'd like to see this guy. He figured he's one of these guys that can't get beat, you see. And most of them are pretty tough guys, you know.
Yes, you are.
No, this year ended.
Yeah.
And his partners would tell him about how smart this guy is. This Eskimo, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to see that guy. Well, he's seen him all right. He says, when he's seen this man started with this year ball, you know, he started after him right away, you know. And he said he never caught him up. And one time there, he said he was trying to throw him over, you know. He says, it's just like hitting a stump. Him, he said, he went over. And
this Eskimo guy, went
yeah, over. No, this year guy that wanted to see the Eskimo. He couldn't do nothing with this year Eskimo. He was too fast.
Uh-huh.
And there was that one time there that he figured he'd throw him down. He throws anybody down, but he couldn't throw this Eskimo.
In other words, this is one Eskimo that the McPherson Indians couldn't beat.
Couldn't beat. And no matter how many is in front of him, you know, he'd go all fast. And anybody that touch him, he'd just fall as he go. He's powerful and fast and strong. He makes that goal every time. And that's the only time they never beat the Eskimos, when that guy's amongst them. Yeah. Oh, they say, they can't figure out how he do it. You can't knock him over. And no matter if you grab him, he just goes, you know, as he go. And you go right through. And big story about him amongst the Indians, you know, about this year, man. You never see a man like that. Never, they never did, and they never will.
You don't know his name anymore?
No. I wouldn't know his name. They just talk about this Eskimo.
Yeah.
A lot of times there, you know, when they're playing football, they start off, say, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you know. And they can't beat one another, you know, back and forth. And everybody's mad. Everybody's got no shirt. And the sun might come up, you know. And by that time, everybody's played out. No noise, just barely running along trying to beat one another. Well, twice there, it got very bad, so the head guys, you know, like, they had to make a big speech to stop them. Otherwise, they wouldn't give in, you know. They wouldn't give in.
Neither side, neither the Eskimo would give in, nor the Indians
They wouldn't give in. And every time somebody grabbed a man, well, they're fighting right now. That's the way it ended up. Every one of them end up with just a pants, no shirt. It's all torn off, see? A lot of them scratched up. Oh, they get that way. They get very ornery, you know, when they can't beat. And they will stick with it till they win, you know. That's one thing about Eskimos still today. They never give in. They wouldn't give in. They're going to beat you, that's all. That's all that's in their mind. They never give in.
What kind of sport?
Well, this is football game.
No, I mean today.
Well, what I meant was, you know, if you get in a fight with them, boy, they never get in. You'll have to knock them out or do something to them. They really put them down and stop them that way. Otherwise, he'd never get in. He'll fight till he die, you know. That's the way with them. Even now they're like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like in my time there, we used to play with them, us kids, you know, in a clinic there. And them days is not as strict as it is now. You know, like now, well, everything's under order, like in Well, them days you can get out and play with them. Most times we end up fighting every time.
You mean real pitched battles in the street, town settlement?
Well, yeah, we'd start off playing, see, just sport, playing. Well, this is a bunch of kids. And most times, well, they want to win, see. Well, we all end up fighting. And us guys got wise to them. Gee, we said, it's no use to. We found out what kind of a people they were, you know. They'd always end up fighting, and they'd always hate the Indian anyway. An Eskimo never did care for an Indian. No, he never did care for an Indian. I notice that even now, I'm working with them now 7 years. Well, they'd say hello and that, but, you know, they get so you can feel it, you know. There's a grudge against you someplace. They don't talk to you. The same time, for instance, like you now, you meet them, you wouldn't believe what I'm talking about. You'd figure, oh, he's a nice man to talk with. But most times, you know, after you stay with them so long and they're looking at you all the time, well, you can feel it, you know. Ah. They're kind of against you all the time. Oh, yeah.
Would the adults get in these scraps?
Oh, yeah, sure.
When the kids started to fight?
No. When the kids do that, you know, well, that's the kids' business. But us guys get away before we go too far.
Oh.
But I used to see them playing, you know. They had a game there that easy. Sometimes they'll grab your cap and throw it at another guy, and you're chasing your cap, you know, and pretty soon they'll be kind of a two-team there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them grown-ups. Oh, gee, they end up getting mad with an Indian every time.
Would they do this for play?
Well, they start out on playing sport, but
with
then...
the cap.
Yeah, that's the way they start, see? And they'd always end up getting mad with an Indian. I don't know why. They never did like them. Well, in olden days, they're just hungry to kill an Indian. I don't know why, but they go on hundreds of miles to find an Indian. They like to kill them.
Yeah. And they don't play this football anymore today?
No, they don't bother with it anymore. No.
And did they ever play with a ball the way you're telling me about a cat? Throwing the ball to one another and trying to keep it.
Amongst themselves, they got a lot of sports like that, you know, amongst themselves. Oh, they're great people to play sports, you know, amongst themselves. And they really have a lot of fun. So they like jumping and pulling wrists, you know, and pulling sticks, and twisting legs and all that. Oh, they got a lot of good sports, you know, amongst themselves. But now they don't bother with it at all. They're getting the same as anybody else, you know, like they... But still, like in their own town, you know, say a village, wherever they live, oh, they have lots of sports. They used to, well, after riding, you know, they used to end up in a clinic there. And to begin with, they used to land on the main side, you know, on the. But then eventually, well, the cops say, well, you people got to get across the river on account of your dogs.
Oh.
That's the way it started. And then I seen them one time, they were playing their sports amongst themselves, and the cop come along and stopped them. And they live on the other side of the river, but he stopped them anyway. So that way it kind of fade away, you know. Well, now in town here, they don't bother with it. They just become drunkards and, you know, bums and that. But he's a good man to talk to. You wouldn't believe what I'm telling you, but, you know, like I say, you're right in there with him working all the time, well, he haven't got very much use for you. And you get so you know it, you know. Just the way he act and the way he talk and that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, you take... there was one Indian there. He's married an Eskimo woman. His name is Henry Stewart. Henry Stewart, you know. He's from McPherson. Well, he ended up marrying an Eskimo woman, and he's still alive. That's the only one that I know of that's married to an Eskimo woman from Fort McPherson, beside this woman I was telling you.
Yeah.
But there's no Eskimos that'll go up there and marry an Indian woman from this part of the world.
Yeah.
They don't bother to go to Fort McPherson anyway, anymore.
Here in Inuvik,
yeah.
There are Eskimo who have married Indian women, aren't there?
Eskimo? No, I don't think so. Not that I know.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. No, I don't think, not a full-blooded Indian.
I can't think of anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I know there's none. Because I know most of them are present Indians, you know. And I haven't seen an Indian with an Eskimo woman outside of Isher Henry Stone. He's from McPherson, you know. Well, he's still alive. He works for the reindeer outfit this year, Henry Stroop. He's up here drying hides right now. They got a house up here, and, you know, they slaughtered some meat there last fall. Well, he dried this year hide. You know, just dry it, put it on a stretcher and dry it.
And send out?
Well, I don't know what they do with it. But I understand now that they want to get some babiche made out of this year hides, you know. Like, you got to cut the hair off and scrape it, like I said, and then make babiche.
Yes.
And I understand that that Boss told them that if they take foreskin, they can keep two. Uh-huh. Give him back two. That's the way I understood it. And I understand they didn't kill very many cattle this year. I think it was 112. That's about all.
You mean reindeer?
Reindeer. That's why Simmer is out of meat, you know. If they kill a whole bunch like early, he's got meat. Well, you might say year-round, through this year, reindeer much, but this spring, like, there was just only around 100, a little over, and some of that had to be shipped out, you know, upriver someplace.
Yeah. They want to build up the herd, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, a lot of that herd run astray, you know.
It lost,
and hundreds and hundreds of it. Well, that herd was up here. Well, down here at the garbage, it's only about a mile and a half. Well, there was four reindeer crossing the, going out and into the delta. I don't know where it ended up. I bet you somebody shot it. Somebody killed them off. They're tame, you know.
Yes, yes.
Well, that, they wouldn't say anything about it, no. I'm pretty sure it was killed off. My son, he went down there to haul some lumber, you know, broken up stuff, you know, for firewood one day there, and he said, gee, you're under four deer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that four deer was going back into the hill on this side, crossing this way.
No Indians had worked on the reindeer project?
Well, there was a few off and on.
Oh, yes.
Off and on, but they'd get away, because they don't get along with the Eskimo. Oh, yeah. Archer Lenny was one of the last ones. He never get along either. They'd get that way, you know. They're all right to start with, and then they'd end up funny that way all the time. They haven't got much use for an Indian. And they're always talking about you. You don't know what they're saying. And they make life miserable for you, and you just have to eventually get out.
You mean kids or grown
people? Grown up and kids, same. It's like if they're Eskimos, they'd play with them a little while, but they'd always end up with a battle. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them mixing up now, school kids and
yes.
And they're always fighting an Eskimo. Eskimos fighting an Indian all the time. Turn out like that all the time. Now, you take the hostels. I understand the RC, you know. He don't let his children mix up with the Indian children anymore because of these big fights. Oh, they can get very rough.
You mean in the Catholic hospital, yeah. The Indian and the Eskimo children have kept separate?
No. You see, there's a lot of Eskimos and slaves and breeds and Indians on both sides. But since that they were in two different parties, you know, well, they're enemies anyway, whether he's an Indian or an Eskimo. And that's why Father Eno, he don't let his children mix up with them at all because they give him more trouble than they're worth him. So he just keeps them in that yard. But the Anglican, they run all over the place all the time.
All over in Newby?
Yeah. Like every weekend, you know, they go any place, visit and sit around. And they're all over town. But the RC, they don't allow their children to run out. It's just to keep them quiet, they do
yes, it. Yes, I understand. Yeah. Now, in Inuvik, there are places where the Indian lives almost next door to an Eskimo, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there again, can't do very much about it. was the government. He put the gravel pad out and he put that house there, whether it's an Indian or... But he don't put a white amongst them. That's one thing. That's only thing. He put them close together. And they're all mixed in. I don't like it the way it is. I never did mix up with them. I always stayed away, you know, like one side and left. Well, I came here, now they're all around me. And they're always in my house. And I can't keep up to them on a shortage of grub all the time.
You're talking about Eskimo?
Eskimo and Indian both. They all get friendly, you know, and like they're all making school together and that, and the grown-ups too. There's always somebody, just like just now before I come up, there was one guy from upriver. Well, he was with a guy from Aklavik, and there was one guy from Banksland. He was right in there with them young fellas, you know.
Yes.
Every one of them had bottles sticking out of their pockets. Well, you don't like that kind of stuff. Well, they're like that all the time, and then they're looking for their partners, my sons. Well, then, if them boys are there, well, then they make a duck house out of my place. And they'll eat anything they see, and I haven't gotten much.
Yeah.
And I'm always short, very, very short, you know.
Do they still have partners today, like you said in the old days, an Indian would have an Eskimo partner?
No. They're just friends and that. Me, I end up with a partner, too. My partner's still alive, and we don't deal with one another like they do in them days. We just say hello and that's all. We started that way all right when we were kids.
You exchange
and
things?
And back and forth, you know. But nowadays we just look at one another and that's that. Well, me, I forget about him and he forget about me.
Who is he?
Well, he's an Eskimo.
Do you know his name?
His name, Lord G. You heard about an Eskimo that's working around in Garry Island? What they call that? I know his name and I forget it right now.
Where's Gary?
Well, that's down below the stage. Well, that's on the coast. Okay. He goes there with a couple of white fellas. They could be Americans, I don't know. But they go there doing something, prospecting or some darn thing. Look, I don't know what they do, but anyway, it's supposed to be government work. Well, he's around now, but I forget his name.
Is he about your age?
Yeah, about my age and about my size, a little smaller.
Where does he live?
Well, he lives around the station all the time.
Radio station?
Around radio station.
Oh. Well, not many people there.
No.
12 families?
But he works with these two couple of white fellows. And I seen him walking with these couple of white fellows, say, about 2 weeks ago. I know his name too, and I can't remember.
How did he become your partner?
Well, since that his dad and my partner were partners, you know, we get to know one another just through that. So in the old days, the way they do it, they just carry that on.
Is that right?
That's the way they do it, and that's the way I have become his partner.
You inherited it from your father.
Yeah. Well, I got half a dozen of them as partners because my dad, he's got lots of partners, you know, because he mixed up with them quite a bit just through his trading business. And through him, well, a lot of them know me. Well, then.
But your father had real partners?
Oh, yeah.
They would give them the clothes
and back
and
forth.
Like,
them days, hard to get things, you know. Like a real good deer coat, you know. Well, it's a very, very valuable thing in them days. Well, it is now, but anyway. So they'd give what they figure is the best.
Mm-hmm.
They'd give their partner, and that's the way they do it. And they were. They were great on dogs that way, you know, dogs, animals.
Yes.
Like a real good working dog, especially if he's a really good leader. You give that to your partner, boy, you really make him happy. He can give you, $600-$700 right now. They don't value it for them days, you know.
Right away he would give something back.
Yeah, right away. Most times a real good leader is what really pleases Eskimo. Oh, yeah. Right today, they go strong and a good leader. An Eskimo always want a good leader, smart and strong and fast. You know. And I know one Eskimo bought a leader for $300.
Recently?
Well, no, this was quite back. And they still go strong on dogs, you know. Oh, they got to have the best team. They're great that way.
Yeah.
But amongst the Indians, that's fading away too. They used to be like that too, you know. And, well, there again, they couldn't beat the McPherson Indian dogs for racing.
Did Didn't an Indian win Sunday night?
Well, just the other day.
Richard Ross.
Well, he's this Blake outfit I was telling you about that came. A.M. Blake, the one that came. His brothers and cousins are all over. He's just like the fourth bunch. They're all over now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he won now for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years, every year he won. One year, his dog won at the come up, so he just stopped.
Well, that's the band you're telling
me. Yeah. He was still ahead on time, but he just didn't want to fight his dog or anything like that. And he gave up. That was the only time that he didn't win. At that time, they were going round and round, you know, place, three times.
Yeah.
All the leaders wanted to go home after they make a second round. Yeah. But he's always got fast dogs. He's very light, anyway.
He's very what?
Light.
Light.
Yeah. He's light, you know. He's always got fast dogs, too, you know. But this Isaac Salmon, you know, that guy that hollers on him, he's got good dogs all the time, too. Well, Isaac Salmon's dogs is just a little over a year old. Well, I think Isaac was just three minutes off.
Oh, 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But they still can't beat Richard Ross.
Mm-hmm.
He goes 20 miles an hour, 28 minutes, on really good trail with a good load.
Mm-hmm.
And they go like that all day, them dogs.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He must select his dogs very carefully.
Oh, yeah. He watch them very good, you know. I used to have them kind of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs like that. If a dog don't suit me, I can't keep him in my harness. I got to have a dog that's really good, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way he is. He bought four dogs from Miss Malcolm Firth that I was telling you about. Boy, them dogs are wonderful. Pretty good-sized dogs, you
know. Were they your dogs?
No, Malcolm Firth.
Oh, Malcolm, your brother.
Yeah, he bought four dogs from Malcolm Firth. Boy, they're nice dogs. Well, that's what win me. He win all the time, this guy. And these dogs are only a little over a year old, too. That four dogs he got. Oh, he must have won, say, $1,200 now in 10 races. He used to get 150 from here, but this year is 100.
Oh, I was going to ask you about this. Last year, Ingemo ran the carnival, didn't it?
Well, I think so. Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of whites mixed into it. There was white women's and, there was everything down there last year. But this year, I don't see any white women's around there. Just about a couple, I guess. Jack the Painter was doing most of the work. But gee, last year they had all kinds of different kind of pastry, you know. And,
cake.
Yeah, cake and stuff like that. Ice cream and soft drinks and candies and... But this year they just had that buns and hot dog and some red reindeer meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they had. Coffee.
Yes.
And that time they had little houses all over that lake and there was some little business going on all around. But this year it's just that two places.
Yeah. Who built those houses last year?
Well, it's just, they build them themselves. You know, it's mostly Northern Affair and that D.P. Gablo and Ingemo and Slim.
Hmm.
If it was warm, I think they'd have had more fun.
Yeah, Saturday's a bad day.
Oh, yeah, cold. Yeah. No snowshoe race, too. The guy that's supposed to handle that was the drunk.
Who was supposed to handle the snowshoe race?
Victor Allen.
Oh, he disappeared.
Well, he got drunk.
Nobody knows where he was.
Yeah, well, he was amongst his own people drinking. He ended up on the lake there.
Oh,
half sober. But that was after everything was over. And the next day he was still going. Sunday, all day I seen him still going drunk.
They were supposed to have a dance, but they couldn't find him.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. You know. They get somebody that don't drink, you know, and put them as a lead like that, you know. Get guys like that to handle the sport, it would be more fun. But most of these guys, they take like Victor, drunkards like that, you know. When they're free, they rather drink, and they drink too darn much to handle anything.
Well, who doesn't drink? Who could be a leader in a thing like that?
Well, you take these Alaskans. They're
Pentecostal?
Yeah, Pentecostal. They should be good for that. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They say they're holy. When you get people like that, they'll be all right. Well, a lot of white people, too, you know, instead of putting an Eskimo and an Indian there, if they let a white handle it, well, he's not going to turn around and drink. He'll do his work all right, just to make support for them.
Well, we had a lot of whites hand up this year.
Yeah. I tell you, lots of them whites are worse than the natives, too, you know, from what I've learned since I've seen this liquor here. You know, they're drunkards, and boy, a lot of them is not, it's just the same as a native, you know, maybe worse. And they're always mixing up with their natives, always after their women's, mostly the navies, since the time they arrived in the Clarion. Well, I don't say we don't do that, but I mean, you know, it's actually they're ruling the people. They leave them with kids, and I don't think there's very, very many natives that marry the Navy that married a native.
Three or four?
Not too many, four or five of us. But there's, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, 40 Navy kids left here. And they got to live on the welfare.
Yeah.
Them kind of people.
How come the commander lets them go around like that? In Frobisher Bay, there was a strict rule.
Mm-hmm.
Any Navy man caught with an Eskimo woman,
sure.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's still going on.
Well, I say Frobisher Bay.
Yeah.
But here, there doesn't seem to be any rule like that.
That's the way I noticed it in the cloud. Like, after six, you know, they'd fill that Pepper's dance hall in the cloud. And it got so there that they were running the place. And they had all had girls, you know, ending up with native girls and shit, they had that place. Yeah, well, you might say they were running the place. Mm-hmm. If there was no Navy around, there was no more excitement. That's the way it turned out. Most of them end up pot bellies, you know. The first 2 years there wasn't any Navy that married any native that I know of.
So it's better now?
Well, it's not any better. Right now they're still giving teenagers drink, Navies. And they do that quite a bit. And there's a lot of kids that's left behind yet, since that time right up till now. And they mix up with them quite a bit. There's no rule at all, from what I see. When they're supposed to be on duty, that's only time.
Yeah, sure.
Most of the time they're there amongst them. There was a couple of natives there drinking, you know, down below me there a couple of days ago. And some navies come in there.
In a private house?
Yeah, well, this woman has got about five kids. She lost her husband. But anyway, his brother was there, and there was another guy there. And they were supposed to be babysitting for this here woman. This woman's brother was there, and he had his friend with him. And they
kid brother?
No, he's grown up. Anyway, these navies come in, and they got mixed in some darn way. Now it turned out that they got to prove that the Navy gave that girl this year a drink. Now it's coming out maybe tomorrow. And these two guys, when they had their own liquor, you know. I don't know how it ended up anyway, but anyway, the Navy said, I didn't do it. And these guys say, they know he done it. But they get the blame too for doing that same thing. So there's two guys held up as a witness for this year Navy guy that's supposed to come up.
Indian or Eskimo?
Well, he's an Indian this year.
The brother?
Yeah. But this Navy is supposed to give this young girl, two, three of them, a drink, and then he turns around and blames it to the guys that were babysitting.
Did these guys come up in court already?
Well, no. They're coming up.
They didn't come up today?
They didn't come up. Well, that guy was showing me that paper. He got a paper there that saying that he's got to be up.
Simon Modest?
George McDonald. And Simon Modest's brother-in-law, it's another witness. So I don't know how it's going to turn out.
It's going to come up tomorrow?
I think so. I didn't ask him. He was sitting with me last night, and he was showing me this paper. He said, I wrote to Vietnam, he said. And he says, I got a reply, and he started reading this thing to me. And it was about this hymn, and supposed to go up as a witness for this Navy.
George MacDonald has to appear as a witness for the Navy guy.
Against him. Ah. And this Simon's brother-in-law, he's got to come against him too.
Who's Simon's brother-in-law?
Well, his name is Napatwe.
Oh, yes, yes.
The crippled guy. No, he's crippled. He walks. Well, anyways, I don't know how it turned out, but the Navy says, them boys gave a drink to the girl. And them boys, they say it's a lie. We're going to prove that it's a lie. And when the cop got after them, it would turn out like that. So now they're going to come against the Navy in court.
How is it that you seldom see a white man? You were saying that some of the white guys are as bad, worse than the natives. But you seldom see a white guy in court.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sure. Well, that's what I was saying. I've seen them do things where they could have got picked up, but that's amongst ourselves. Well, we say, well, if you was a white man, you'd get away with it, all right. But you're an Indian, you can't get away with it. Where would a white fella can get away with it? We talk like that amongst ourselves. Like you say, it's true.
I just see my eyes.
Sure. Well, you're not telling a lie there. It happened. They can get away with a lot of these things, you know. And where with a native, well, he'd be thrown in. And like you say, it's true, because you don't see them in court very, very many times.
Mm-hmm.
They are one as they go. But a native, he's in there all the time because he drank too much. Yeah. He don't know how to drink. He end up too darn much all the time. Well, most times he go in there for that. And then he's still living that way. There's not very many natives that think, you know. They're kind of slow now. And we're all the same, you know. We've got to sit there till we're sloppy and drunk. And then if we see a guy try to give us sympathy or something, we'll keep it going, you know. Yeah. There's not very many of us that think. Most of them, they just go ahead, you know. And they do that every time they get money. Oh, yeah, they spend that $100 like nothing. And that's why most of them got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the drinking is what gets us down by.
We were talking about the Nakani. I was going to ask you about some beliefs that the Indians might have. Have you ever heard that it's bad to whistle at night? They tell a kid, the Indians, in the old days maybe, would tell a kid not to whistle at night.
Yeah.
You ever hear that?
No.
These
amongst my people, the only kind of story I heard something like that was that not to whistle when there's lots of northern lights out.
Oh.
It'd bring the thing down. And I think it's true too, because a whole bunch of us got outside in the moonlight and all kinds of northern light, real good night, you know. And all of us start whistling, and that thing, at times you can hear it, just like a wind.
Yeah.
And we get scared.
Were you a kid then?
You're kids. And we bring the thing to life, like somehow, you know, and there's times there you can hear it waving as it go, you know. And it comes right down on you. This is no lie. Whistle at it, the more noise you make whistling, the more it seems to move around. That was the only thing I heard about an Indian tell his kid not to do that when you see northern lights.
Do they still tell him that?
Well, no. They don't talk about anything like that anymore. But the ones that used to do it, they're all died off, you know. They got their old beliefs like
that.
Oh, yes, there's quite a lot of it amongst them.
I just wanted to see if there were any of these beliefs still living and still going on, beliefs still going on in Inuvik.
No. Because most of them people, like I say, that used to be that way, they're all died off.
Mm-hmm.
Dead off. And they seem to know the stars, you know, like they know when it's going to get daylight just by looking at the star. Mm-hmm. They watch that dipper, you know, and they're living out there all the time, and they get so they just seem to know it.
Tell the time.
Yeah, they can tell the time. They know, they say, well, it's midnight now, and when it's going to get daylight, you know, they watch a certain amount of stars there, and well, he say, he's up now, very, very close to daylight, and they come true, you know.
Can you still do that?
No, I couldn't do it, but I got pretty good idea, you know, because I was traveling with him
sure.
quite a bit. But then when this darn flu business came and that, I ended up with my father-in-law. Well, he died, say, about 4 years back. Well, he used to be good at that kind of stuff. Just by looking at the skies, you know, and he'd know when it's... And another thing, you know, like a white man, he'd say the day start lengthening out in December around 21. Well, the Indian, he said that they start lengthening out down here before 21 in December. And the way they used to talk about it, you know, like if there was a big stump here, you know, great big stump.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a hollow under it, like, well, you can see in there, it's dark, see?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as the day start lengthening out, you know, well, that place where they couldn't see, where it was used to be dark, you know, well, somehow they see. Well, now they say the day is starting lifting out. That's the way they go at things like that, you know. And that's kind of their belief, you know, very strong in that. But say with a white fellow, well, it's beyond that. But the way they look at it, well, the days, the Indians with them down here, the days start lengthening out before the white people were.
What do they say makes the Northern Lights?
Well, I don't know. They just tell them not to interfere with them, especially don't whistle. That's the way I've understood. They didn't explain the reason why, the meaning of what they knew about it, but that's the way they tell about it. Well, that's the way we got in and started on this, because we hear that, see?
Mm-hmm.
And by God, there was something to it already. But we never tried that after that. It seemed to act more, you know, move and come down and that, and sometimes you can hear it, you know. No wind at the time. And we get so very, very scared of it rather quick.
You never heard that the Northern Lights are the souls of the dead?
No.
Traveling in the sky?
No. Well, this guy I'm talking about, he would have more stuff on, because he's mixed in more with his own people, and he's older than me anyway, so... And he talks pretty good, you know. You get to give him an understanding of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's a little deaf, too. Like, sometimes he'll say yes, but then if he understands what you mean about him...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you got to watch.
How about ghosts?
Oh, Jesus.
The Indians talk about ghosts, the natives talk about ghosts.
Well, the way I heard that, you know, like if they're going to have bad luck, you know, supposing their relation going to die, well, they see ghosts. Just like one guy telling his brother, he says, well, Andrew, he says, I sure beat you this time. He says, he was camping in Martha Field, you see, and he was all alone. And he said, this here guy, he come right down, he feel all over me here like that. Just like as if you were doing that to me. And I couldn't see this guy. He says, I'm not going to live very long, he says. And this was his youngest brother. Was telling him that, and he was alone at the time.
Mm-hmm.
When he got back to his people, he talks about it that way.
Yeah.
But he said he never got scared. Somehow he didn't get no fear put into him. But he said, it was just like you doing that to me, he said. And I was wide awake, he said. I didn't fall asleep yet when this guy was doing this to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way he tell his story.
Do they still think that if you see anything like this, it's a bad sign?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like me, you know, one time, well, I don't believe in anything like that myself, you know. I really don't. I never see them anyway. But one time there, I was hunting with Andrew Stewart, a guy by the name of Andrew Stewart, you know. And this was in the fall. We got into a bunch of lakes. We start hunting ducks. And it got dark with us in the fall. Well, after dark, well, we started back to the portage, see? Started back to this here portage. Well, son of a gun, when we got so far, this ghost come meeting us. And it's just as plain as I'm sitting to you now. It was all white. And we were very young at the time, and holy smoke, we get scared. turn around, start that way, we get close to that shore, he's there. We'll go the other way, he's there.
You were in a boat?
In the canoe, hunting ducks.
And it was on the water?
Well, he was on the land all the time.
On the land?
On the land, and this is not a lie. I seen it myself, and I was really scared. So in the end, he told me, he says, look, we have to make it. We'll have to go. He said, we'll go back to that porridge. He said, you load your gun up. I load my gun up. And he said, you go ahead of me. He's older than me, you see. So he comes behind me, he loads his gun up.
Hmm.
And I had mine ready to just pull the trigger. But when we made up our mind, he never showed up anymore. He never showed up. And me, I just took off, you know, left my ducks and everything. He says, wait. Well, he couldn't wait. He's nervous too, you know, he had to catch up to me. But we never seen him at that time. That was the only time I remember, and I'll never forget it. It's the only time I seen that. Another time there, I seen my dad, you know. And I was hunting with a whole bunch of guys in the mountain. And when I see my own dad, you know.
Was he still living?
Yeah, he was still alive. But when I see him, you know, well, usually I'd lose one of my kids or one of my relations. Somehow it turned out like that. And this time I was skinning caribou and I hear somebody walking with a snowshoe. Well, he was amongst the bunch, see? And he was coming down the mountain there and he passed me without talking, you know. So pretty soon I look again and the son of a gun, there's not even a snowshoe track. Nothing. And John Green was below me and well, I said, Sulla, I call him Sulla, that means my brother-in-law.
Sulla.
Yeah. Well, I said, I seen the old man again. That's the second time it happened up till then, see? Heck, when we got back, one of my daughters is in the hospital. Well, she didn't last. 2 days later, she was dead. Well, we believe in that kind of stuff amongst ourselves, see?
That's the second time it happened?
Yeah. Second time it happened. And that was the only time I seen him like that. But every time I'd seen him, you know, like it's just like dreaming, you know.
But that wasn't a ghost.
No. Well, I don't know how to put it.
I see.
I seen him exactly like I'm looking at you.
You wouldn't call it a ghost, though.
Well, I don't know how to put it. I just don't know. But anyway.
Would the Indians call it a ghost?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You think they would?
Yeah. But I get very, very surprised, you know. Like, I know how he's dressed, and I see him walking, and the way he's dressed, he's amongst the guys like that, you know. And then, when I look again, there's no track, and boy, I get mad. I really get mad.
Mad?
Yeah, I just get mad because I see that. Well, when I get back to the camp, well, he's amongst the bunch, and he's dressed the way I see him. And that thing comes into my head, and I really get mad, you know, but I never say I seen that, you know.
You never told
him? No, I never say anything to nobody. I keep that to myself.
Did John Greenland tell anybody?
Well, I don't know. But anyway, I keep that to myself, something like that hunch I was telling you about, you know. And when I do that, when I see him like that, and then find out that he's not there, not even track, well, I know darn well something's going to happen.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the way. But they really make me mad when I see him amongst a bunch of them. And I see him right there again, the way I seen him, see, and he's down there, and he has no track yet. Gee, I get mad about it. I don't like it. And it happened to me twice.
Yeah. It's
really no good.
Well, I think that we ought to quit. I have to...
This is the end of the tape, recorded April 18, 1967.